Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard. While we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Good cold morning, everybody. This is Alessandra, your DJ and host for Growing Good here on Heritage Radio Network. As you all know, this is a parenting show on our amazing sustainable living focused station here in Bushwick, Brooklyn, New York. So today's topic is going to be a little bit of a personal one. Many of my friends and family know that my 20-month-old son Wallace recently had an accident under the care of his grandmother. And it was actually my first weekend back to work, which was very traumatizing. I'd spent about 8 months working on opening up my own side business called Ulterius. It was my first weekend back at work, and the schedule was meant to be that Wally would be at his grandparents on Saturday and Sunday while I returned to work. So everything was going fine, and then Sunday night at 6 o'clock, I get a phone call that Wally had somehow gotten on top of a table because he is in his crawling phase. He actually moves furniture around when you least expect it to crawl on top of it and, you know, make his own kind of jungle gyms. It's very scary. So he got on a table, and on this table, my mother had left a drinking glass out. So he got on the table, picked up the glass, and then fell off of the table holding the glass. The glass broke and shattered instantly into his hand. So what happened? They rushed him to the local emergency room where Wally was stitched up. They called me. By the time I got there, he had to go through this whole experience without his mom. He was playing and laughing, and the doctors were like, oh, no, everything's great. He's playing and laughing. Everything's fine. He had 12 stitches, which was my first, you know, tip of alarm. I was like, 12, that sounds like a lot. But by the time I got to the hospital, his hand was completely covered and bandaged. So I could not see the wound whatsoever. The hospital discharged us saying, everything's fine. Come back in 14 days to get your stitches removed and blah, blah, blah. You know, it could have been worse. We all went home thinking, oh, Lord, you know, it could have been worse. And, you know, by the grace of the universe, after 48 hours, the doctor called and said, oh, you know, you have to come in with a child this small. It's protocol that you come in and we rebandage, you know, the wound and check for infections. When we went in for this follow-up was the first time that I, his mother, actually saw the wound. And as soon as they unwrapped it, I realized that something was very, very wrong because my kid's hand was literally like a Frankenstein. The stitches were not closing the wound. It was still bleeding a little bit. And so basically I realized something was very wrong. And so I took him to a hand specialist, and Wally was put under again immediately. And the specialist told me, you know, you have two options here. I can look at it, make sure that no damage was made, and stitch him up better because I am a plastic surgeon, so it'll be 70% less scar. Or if I go in there and I see that something's wrong, I'll fix it right then and there, and, you know, it's a win-win situation. So that's what we ended up doing. And my tip of the day for everybody is that no matter how small the wound is or how big of an accident, whatever, you need to take your children to specialists. You need to take yourself to specialists, because what happened was the worst case scenario out of any of the scenarios that were presented to me by this amazing specialist who does all the Lincoln Center ballerinas and orchestra musicians. I was able to get in with him through a friend immediately. What they found was that Wally's nerves were severed completely the minute that he fell off of the table. That's why he was laughing and playing. He could not feel the wound. He could not feel anything. And he underwent a 4-hour operation where the specialist put together every single nerve back together one by one under a microscope. It took 4 hours. He was cast for a month. The cast just went off last week. We are working on maintaining it at home, and he starts physical therapy next week, which is going to be 6 weeks, to get his nerves and his brain to work the hand again. So I'm working on a very special baby safety tip to, you know, for your home, because obviously this has changed everything for me and my family. But I just wanted to let everybody know that he is doing well, and that the big focus from me, Alessandra, on growing good to you parents out there, caretakers, babysitters, aunts, uncles, grandparents. Emergency rooms in our nation are not equipped with the right lighting. It's not their fault. They literally don't have the equipment. They don't have the lights, the microscopes to see what specialists see. Their job is to stop the bleeding, stop the problem, and release you. You cannot go home expecting to not see a specialist. Had I done what the ER had told me to, which was come back in 12 days to remove the stitches, my son would have been a cripple for the rest of his life. Those nerves would have never regenerated, and he would have lost complete feeling and use of his left hand. So it's a very important issue. I'm going to be working on in February on a segment on baby-proofing all of our homes. So today we have an amazing guest all the way up from Maine. Growing Good is heading up north to an amazing place called Squire Tarbox Farm. Angie, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Angie. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
So Angie and I have never met, but I am actually close with one of your farm hands, Ian Kennedy, who has set us up here today. And Squire Tarbox Farm is located in Westport Island, correct?
Correct, in Midcoast, Maine.
Midcoast, Maine. And what appealed to me so much about having Angie on the show with us today is that she herself is a new mom. Can you introduce your miracle to us?
Oh, the little munchkin?
The little munchkin.
Let me go. His daddy has him right now. It's close to nap time. Let me see where little Elijah Kale is.
What's your son's name?
Elijah Kale.
Elijah Kale. And how old is Elijah?
Oh. Elijah, can you say hello?
Hello, no. Elijah.
Hi. He's like, no.
I heard him a little bit. How old is Elijah?
Elijah is 17 months.
17 months. So we're on the same par here. He's walking. He's trying to put words together.
Yes, he's definitely walking and talking, and he is a little climber. He's climbing all over everything. So he's running around like a little crazy man.
Well, what's amazing is that he's running around on your farm. So Angie and her husband Kyle run this farm themselves, and on their website, actually under farmers, it's so cute. There's a picture of Angie, a picture of Kyle, a picture of baby, and a picture of their dog, because that's their farmers. They're running a family-run farm, and it's just so amazing. How has it been raising Eliza on that kind of environment?
It's been really awesome. It's also challenging, especially when they're, it's great, it was great when he was younger, say like 5 months.
Because you just strapped him into the baby Bjorn and farmed.
Wasn't really getting around too much, so I just had him in a backpack and he came to the farmer's markets with me.
Right.
So that was really awesome. As he started to get a little older, started crawling, it became much more challenging, but you know, he's part of what we do, so he came with us regardless. It was just a little harder. So,
yeah.
But we have other great people who are working on the farm who are like his surrogate uncles, and they were very hands-on. So that made it really, really awesome. And he has a sitter who's right. actually the goat keeper.
Amazing. Goat keeper slash mommy helper.
She's great. She's a grandmother, and she also takes care of the goats at the Squire Tarbox Inn. So she takes him a couple days a week, which makes it really great, so I can actually harvest and do the post-harvest work that I need to do without having... It's really challenging with a child.
Of course.
It's a little easier when you're at the market and just trying to sell stuff, and people are like, oh, you know, everybody knows him.
Right.
They see him every week, so they see
him.
He's
like your farm mascot.
He kind of is. I mean, it's such a nice little community just with the vendors.
Right, and let's talk about that for a second so that my audience knows exactly what I'm talking about. So Squire Tarbucks Farm, you guys harvest a Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association approved vegetables and flowers. And
yeah,
you
we're
have
certified
your,
organic.
You're certified organic, and you have your farm and your two main profit, you know, businesses are that you do the local markets and you also sell to local restaurants, correct?
Correct. And we have a small CSA, the Community Supported Agriculture Program.
Right. And you also have a store on your property, a little front house market store.
We do. Yeah, the farm store. It's like a kind of...
just come and just get what you get.
Yes. Nobody's manning the store. It's, you know... We pretty much trust everybody to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we haven't had any problems. So
that's
it's
great.
Really worked well for us.
And you also mentioned the Squire Tarbucks Inn, which is your in-laws' property right down the way of your farm. It's a hotel. It's a bed and breakfast.
It is. It's a B&B. They have about 11 rooms. That's kind of where we started, actually.
Right. You started in the back of the hotel, and then you moved to your farm where you are now.
Exactly.
That's so amazing altogether. So was the move during your pregnancy or way before the pregnancy?
It was way before.
Okay.
I worked through my whole pregnancy.
Of
I'm
course.
Also a yoga teacher. That's kind of
I heard, right.
That's
amazing. You're so amazing. We're having a yoga special this month
so,
on Growing Good.
During, my pregnancy was great, and I worked the whole pregnancy up until probably about a month before I gave birth. I was still doing the farmers markets and,
right.
you know, taking care of animals and stuff like that.
Right. And you also, what kind of animals do you have? I know you have pigs, and we know you have goats.
Yep. We also raise layer hens.
Right.
So we have a flock of hens, and then primarily we really focus our energy on raising feeder pigs. So we get piglets in the spring, and then we slaughter them in the fall. And we do we don't just do summer markets. We have two winter markets that we go to
wow.
as well. So
are those indoors or they're outdoors still in the winter?
Excuse me?
Are they indoor or it's outdoor in the winter?
They're indoor.
Oh, they're indoor. That's good for the baby. Great.
Yes. Yes.
And so your primary responsibilities, I mean, of course, above doing everything, because that's what mothers do, you do the markets and you specialize on the flowers. Is that right?
I do. I do the bunching of the flowers, although I noticed this year the boys did a really nice job. So I don't think it's very hard to make bouquets look good because flowers are gorgeous. So,
right.
you know, it's good to have an eye, but definitely I think the folks that work for us this year did a nice job bunching flowers. But I do like the accounting. I am kind of the person who works with our wholesale accounts. I do all the ordering. I do the deliveries
right.
for the wholesale accounts.
And I noticed on your website it said that you use cover crops and organic amendments to enrich your soil instead of chemical inputs. And I had seen some pictures online about some sort of like seaweed fertilizer attempt that you had tried to do that sounded so amazing. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we started off with this year, one of the folks that was working for us, who's actually a really good friend of ours, talked about compost tea or seaweed tea as like a foliant, so you just spray it on the plant. So we were doing a compost tea where we would take a little bit of seaweed, sea water, as well as a little bit of compost. We'd blend it up in a blender and then put it into a 50-gallon vat with water. And then we'd kind of percolate it with an air stone overnight. And all of the sediment would fall to the bottom. And then we'd have this really wonderful compost tea that we were spraying on our plants. And it was really wonderful.
That's so great. But I heard it was a lot of work for, you know, just to make a little amount. Do you think you'll be doing more of that?
We are toying more with, we got a tractor trailer load of organic compost, and that was really awesome. But we're looking at other seaweed inputs. I'm not sure what that's going to look like quite yet.
Right, because of course, all of you guys out there, if you don't understand, where she is surrounded by water, this farm. So obviously the seaweed is free and all around. So she's, you know, they're using their nature's, you know, resources to actually farm their lamb, which I think is very cool.
Yeah, we, hay or straw, I should say, kind of, it was a bad year for straw this year, so the prices went up almost, they almost doubled. So we looked at harvesting seaweed to mulch our garlic this fall. So we got, it was an interesting endeavor, I have to say.
Very inventive.
We got a little bit of seaweed, and it's kind of an experiment now to see seaweed mulch versus straw. So we'll see how the garlic does this year, and then we'll be able to.
Well, that's exciting, and we at Heritage are supporting that. That is so cool. Angie, stay with me. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll be back with Angie and Squire Tarbuck's Farm. This is Farm Aid Master of All, Willie Nelson, for you guys.
A long time forgotten, our dreams that just fell by the way. And the good life he promised ain't what she's living today. But she never complains of the bad times or the bad things he's done, Lord. She just talks about the good times they've had and all the good times to come. She's a good-hearted woman in love with a good-time man. And she loves him in spite of his ways that she don't understand. And through teardrops and laughter, they're gonna pass through this world hand in hand, Lord. Now this good-hearted woman in love with a good-time man.
Welcome back, everybody, to Growing Good. We have Angie today from Squire Tarbuck's Farm up in Maine. I'm reading off of their website now. The farm is located in beautiful mid-coast Maine on Westport Island. The island provides a unique coastal climate to grow a wide variety of vegetables, fruits, flowers, and culinary herbs. And a quote from Angie, her husband Kyle, and their 17-month-old baby Elijah Kale is that, "We believe in the importance of working with nature and not against her," which I really love. Hey, Angie, you there?
Yes, I am.
So you know what I wanted to ask you is, what about, you know, in terms of baby's scheduling with the sleeping? Because, you know, I'm very big on, you know, healthy sleeping habits, happy baby, etc. So obviously the hours with working a farm are crazy. Are you guys up a lot before the sun is even up? How have you adjusted the baby to that?
We are on a tight sleeping schedule. My son is, he loves his sleep. He actually asked to go to bed. He asked for night-night. So he goes to bed at 7 o'clock at night, and he's right up around, I'd say 5:36 in the morning.
Wow.
In the summer, that's the beauty of owning your own business, especially a farm, is that I have a lot of room for movement. So if he does sleep late, you know, we just I let him do that, and I wait for him to get up.
Right.
But he's usually up when we are. So right. That has not been an issue.
That's so cool. Well, yeah, I mean, the babies, they just adjust to you. I'm living a city life. So when Wally and I first moved back to the city, we were also going to sleep at 7 at night and waking up at 7. But I quickly had to change that because if you wake up at 7 a.m. in Brooklyn, there's a bunch of people partying outside. There's nothing, you can't, they're still going at it. So I was like, wait, there's nothing for us to do. Nothing even opens till around 10 or 11. So I had to adjust our sleeping schedule to our environment. And Wally goes to bed around 9:30 and wakes up around 9:10 o'clock now. It's totally nuts. But yeah, that must be so exciting. So basically you guys come up, get up, and how does Eliza take to the animals on the farm?
He loves the animals.
I mean, that's so amazing.
Yeah, he's, you know, we have chickens right at our house, so he asked to go see the buck box.
Right.
And we'll take him out, open up the chickens, feed them, water them. He gets to chase them around the yard. And with the pigs, he's just kind of getting to the age where he's starting to understand it a little bit more. But I would take him to the farm so he could see the pigs when they were littler. But then they get to be
so
about
big.
300 pounds.
Yeah.
so we watch. He watches from mommy's arms.
And your pigs, I read also that you guys let them raise them out in the forest and everything, and they can scavenger, and it's very like a very cruelty-free environment for your pigs.
Absolutely. We really believe that the energy that you're kind of giving to the pigs, that vitality really shows through in the meat that we're selling. So we really try to do, to raise them in a really, I want to say loving environment per se, but we definitely like are totally hands-on. Like they see us all during the day because they're, where they were this year was right on the edge of two of our main fields. So they would hear the truck pull in, and they'd come running, you know, and we'd kind of say hi to them and scratch their ears and blah, blah, blah. So,
I mean, you're just teaching your son so much. First, it's like the feeding of the chickens, but also just the whole circle of life, because then the pigs went away, right, and
yes.
Came back in bacon bags.
Yes, they
but
did.
Montessori, no, I know, but this is, I'm a huge advocate of Montessori, and they really are all for that, you know, like teaching life and death, you know, in a sense way, in a logical way, where we're going to eat the bacon, et cetera, not in a cruel way. And, you know, that's all being instilled in your son, and I just think it's so amazing.
It is. Well, he's just benefiting from eating some of the best meat there is out there, and that's
yeah.
the meat that we raise. So, you know, he eats everything that we eat, and we actually do beef share. We buy a cow with four other families that's
wow.
grass-fed, organic. So he's eating some of the most vital, amazing food. You know, he's being raised pretty much 95% organically. He gets all the vegetables that we raise.
No preservatives, like no added crap. I mean, and that's what this show is all about. That's amazing.
Yeah, we really try. It was my intention when I got pregnant to make all of his own food. And I've done that right from the get-go. Once he started eating solids, I made all of his own food. So he's never had, you know,
my son too, jarred food. Earth's best is not Earth's best. You know, we've done many shows on this before.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That's so gross.
I want to know exactly what he's eating, and I really believe in the whole local movement. I just really believe that things are more vital when they're harvested 10 miles down the road instead of being shipped from California and being in a truck for, you know, a week or whatever.
That's amazing. And so what are some new plans that you guys have cooking in your heads up there? It sounds like you're moving very fast. How long has the farm been open, adding on the time that you were at the inn?
We've been farming for about 8 years, maybe 9 years now.
Wow.
So we've grown tremendously. We started out with probably about a half an acre, and now we're farming about 5 acres of land.
Right. Yeah.
So that in itself is huge. We just bought a brand new tractor last year. We're in the process of building. We have a very large greenhouse, Gothic greenhouse.
Oh, wow.
But this year we're going to be building.
What is a Gothic greenhouse? What is the Gothic? Just the architecture you're saying?
Yes, yeah, just the style of it, the way that it almost kind of looks like a. It's got a pitched roof.
Uh-huh.
It's not totally round.
Right.
Where it's got an arch to it.
Uh-huh.
So this year we're looking into, and what we're going to be doing is building high tunnels, 100-foot-long high tunnels out of, like, 20-foot-long metal poles, and we'll bend them ourselves. And then we like the idea of being able to move the structures with our greenhouse. It's where it sits is where it will be for until we decide to break it down.
And what do the high tunnels do?
The high tunnels just provide season extension or allow you to have an earlier season.
Oh, wow.
So it's the same idea as a greenhouse, except for it's on a much smaller scale.
Right, because, I mean, you're also battling the weather up there. It gets very cold very fast.
Exactly.
But I've heard that in your downtime, you've done a lot. You've done a lot. You planted the garlic. You know, you tried the seaweed. And now you're building these tunnels to beat that. So that's always a constant thing going on up there is the weather.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's our biggest thing. And now that we're really focusing on doing winter markets, we really need to have season extension for greens, primarily kale, anything that's like winter hardy. We grow a lot of Asian greens, like Asian mustard greens, and just mustard greens in general that actually do pretty well in the cold. So we really like to have greens throughout the winter. We have spinach planted in the greenhouse right now that we've already had one harvest from, so we've already done one cut. And we're hoping that'll get us through maybe the next month or two.
And how are live back to Elijah, my baby? how does his play? I mean, does he just like have the best play dates? Because when you have a play date with Elijah, you get to see some chickens, some pigs, like some farming. Is it just like the kids come over and freak out? do you have a lot of kids come over?
Yeah, absolutely. When kids come over, we take them to the farm.
That's so
we
awesome.
Walk around. They get to see the animals. They get to play in the dirt. And we like to leave the island in the winter, so we actually are doing this program called Music Together.
Oh, yeah, we've done the Music Together. That's nationwide. Love it.
Yes, yep. So we do that in the winter and just generally hang out. It's a little cold right now, so
yeah. It's
tough to go outside. But
it's
on nice days, we took him to the greenhouse the other day, and we were weeding, and he was just playing in the dirt, like having an awesome time.
Yep.
So he was helping us weed, sort of.
Totally. I mean, he must get in there because it's like monkey see, monkey do, you know. He sees mommy, you know, pulling stuff out of the ground. He's going to start doing it too. I mean, I just think that's so amazing. And Kyle has been very supportive to you as a new mom. And you guys are just, you know, sound really like you're really, really having a good time. You're a happy mom, Angie?
Absolutely. Happy enough to want to have more children.
Yay! Need more farmers, farmhands. Well, everybody out there, you can go visit. You know, once the weather gets warmer, I saw on your website that you do invite people to come on in and visit and see the farm.
Absolutely.
And I've taken a flight up there. It's an hour flight. It's so cool. You can visit Portland. You can eat some really great lobster. You can go visit Squire Tarbuck's farm. I think Wally and I will be up at the end of February, and we'd love to meet you in person and have a play date.
That'd be great. I would love that.
And how is there any other way that people from afar can help you guys out, or you're just local? You're sticking to the local right now.
Well, I think that wherever you are, the best way you can help out any small farmer or any small business is just by buying local and supporting the small businesses around you.
Well, that is just amazing, and that is the truth on Growing Good this Thursday. Love and light to you, Angie. Big kisses to your family.
Thanks, Alessandra.
Thanks. This is the Grateful Dead live at Farm Aid doing one of my favorite Dylan tunes. Peace.
Wake up in the morning, pull my hand and pray for rain. I got a more. If you a nigga, give you a dime, ask you a pimp, you're having a good time.
Hi, this is Moby, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.